morning and welcome to Harmony Toluca Lake. So today's service is going to be a little different. We're doing a more contemplative service, so I'm going to ask you to stay in your seats, but still worship, still sing along. If you'd like to close your eyes or just listen to the lyrics, feel free to do that as well. We're staying in line with our theme today, which is focusing on high anxiety. I know everyone can use a break every now and then, so feel free to worship with us any way you choose.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for. fight when strength is gone. In the middle of the fire, when fear is closing in, you are my song. You're my hope when hope is gone. So I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Oh, oh, because you love me. In the middle of the night, when worry finds me, in the middle of the fight, when strength is gone, in the middle of the fire, when feelings closing in, you are my song. You're my hope when hope is gone. So I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. My cares on you, 'cause you love me, you love me. Oh, oh, because you love me. Oh, oh,
because you love me.
God of glory, you are able through your power to be faithful. God of mercy,
next song. It has a very simple message that the power of Jesus' name can break every chain. So whatever you are going through in your life, whatever stress, anxiety, or pain that you are dealing with, know that there's someone who cares and loves you truly.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
Sing that with us.
Oh, so
Break every chain. I just want to hear the voices say that.
To break every chain.
If you believe that, sing that out.
To break every chain.
Turn on my phone without being reminded of the lie that I am alone and broken, unsuccessful, and I can't even talk to my friends, 'cause they've got expectations that I may or may not be living up to. I really need to rid myself of the pressure to be someone else you did not create. Jesus, take from me all the pressure to be someone else you did not create. Help me and decrease, and let me glorify you. Help me to see me and only glorify you. Oh. And I thought my intentions were good, just act like a Christian should and hope someone watching would approve or be inspired. But if you're not feeling my show, then how far could I go before all of my accomplishments go down in fire? Just because of the pressure to be someone else that the church has made. Jesus, take from me all the pressure to be someone else you did not create. Help me to be me and only see. Let me decrease and glorify you. Help me just to be me.
and only see you in me. Just a decrease in glory by you. Just take from me all the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone else. You did not create. Jesus, take from me all the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone else. You did not create.
Amen. What a blessing this worship band is for this church, right? Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So everyone, take a deep breath in and let it out. Now, this may sound like a TV commercial, but anyone in here suffering from sleepless nights? You waking up with a sense of dread? How about feeling overwhelmed with the current political climate? Now, I hate to admit this, but all three of those, they apply to me. Fortunately, not all at the same time, so I'm lucky there. But still, there, for example, there are times due to the incessant political sniping from all sides, as well as the political corruption, instability, the folly, the bad behavior, that, you know, I do wake up with a sense of dread. I wake up and I go, what shoe has dropped now? And I used to, and I want you to know these are the operative words, used to, on my listen to political channels on Sirius Radio on my way to church over at the Hollywood campus. And this was CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC. And I know it sounds weird. It makes me look like I'm a unicorn because, you know, I'm listening to these particular three channels. But I did that because I want to be informed. I was listening to these various viewpoints so I can form my own opinion. However, the bad news that was coming over the airwaves began to have a bad news effect on my personal well-being, and I had to put a stop to this anxiety-inducing effect that was having on my life. So when the leadership team, we were discussing these preview worship services and topics that I might address, this came up, and they said, hey, Mark, why don't you talk about anxiety? And I thought, well, that's a topic that I can easily relate to. And I believe that every one of us has anxiety push buttons, and we could talk for days about, you know, triggers, A to Z, right? But while the topic connects with all of us, it's interesting, I believe that it connects more so with the millennial generation, because they are otherwise known as Generation Stress. It's high anxiety time, because more than at any other time since World War II, anxiety levels are off the charts. They're at an all-time high. I came across this astounding stat, and it is amazing that in the United States, up to 90% of doctor visits are for stress-related issues. Yeah, up to 90% stress-related issues. Whoa, I mean, come on, what the devil is going on? And when in anxiety, it's rapidly wrapping its knuckles against our heart doors. What do we do about that? And even more importantly, as I was reflecting on this sermon, I was thinking in particular, how do we react to this and deal with this and address this as a church community of faith? Now, I want to go back to the first question. What the devil is going on? Why is there so much anxiety? Well, for one thing, I believe that we put way too much pressure on ourselves. We have taken it on to overachieve. We've taken on the mindset that we have to be over successful. Consider this example. You've heard of the American dream, right? American dream? Oh, yeah. Well, you good paying job, retirement, pension, get married, own a home, have 2.4 kids. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the 0.4 running around the house. But anyway, is that really the American dream? Not now. Oh, it was. Yet what was still hovers over us like it's an American nightmare. We're not good enough. That's a feeling that we have, that we're not good enough. And we perceive ourselves with uncertainty in whatever we believe the American dream is supposed to be or what we have been told it is by our parents, our peers, ourselves. And in addition, we've become concerned about how others perceive us. There is a double dog pile of perception uncertainty. Our anxiety levels are off the charts. Financial reasons, employment reasons. Look at the current college and postgraduate debt. Now, forget piddly student loans of $10,000 to $15,000. Please, that was old school. Ramp it up, because the average college debt right now is right around $33,000. And I'm taking a guess that is some of you in the room. But I also know individuals that have over $100,000 in student loan debt. Try to wrap your head around that. I mean, that's just one financial line item in their lives. And how quickly can they pay that off? I can't even, that's just crazy. I'm even sweating thinking about it. How about the job market? When I graduated from college with a degree that was an automatic door opener, and look, I wasn't born in the Middle Ages, people, all right? Now it's a tough competitive market out there. As though that weren't sobering enough, I came across this quote from Pew Research Center, and it comes with a wicked punch. Millennials are the first in modern era to have higher levels of student loan debt, poverty, and unemployment, and lower levels of personal wealth and personal income than any other generation at this same stage of life. Whoa. That is sobering. And I have one more anxiety consideration for you, and it's the tyranny of choice, because we have lots of choice, more than any other time in history. Did you know that Colgate has over 40 varieties from which to choose when you go to the supermarket? I mean, which one's right for my teeth? Right? And then here, did you know Amazon has over 1,000 kinds of toilet brushes? Now, I know there's a joke waiting to be flushed out here, but I'm going to pass on it. But seriously, 1,000 kinds of toilet brushes? Come on, seriously? And I'm going to throw in another one just for kicks. Retirement plans. Did you know in 2013, there were 638,390 retirement plans from which to choose? Wow, can you see where I'm going with this? This plethora of choices. There's no excuse to be less than perfect. So we obsess in making the right choice. Like buying furniture. So we go to the store. Well, that's if there is still a store that exists. And then, while we're there, got to whip out the phone, got a price compare, right, online. Well, let's see what's going on. Ooh, Amazon. And then, got to call the parental unit, got to get their historic viewpoint. And then you got to call the friend, right, because you got to get their relevant opinion. And as if that weren't enough, we got to cover all the bases, right? So we put it forth to our entire Facebook network, right? You know I'm speaking the truth, right? This expansion of sought-after opinions is wide. Decision-making now leads to paralysis, and we all know what paralysis can lead to. The tables of life have been turned, and you may even say turned, they've been flipped. This tense issue impacts so many, this feeling like we're constantly living in a pressure cooker. And let's face it, anxiety is not an age discriminate, doesn't discriminate with age. So here I am, I'm in deep reflection and prayer over this prevalent matter. And, you know, I say, Lord, please speak to me. Just guide me. What scripture can address this issue when we're so anxiety-ridden? And so when I'm in this reflection, it suddenly comes to me. It's like sense memory from the book of Psalms. It's also known as the book of praises in the Bible. And I say sense memory because this is something I learned as a youth, and it may be familiar to you, and it's Psalm 23. Now, what you're going to see on the screens are six verses that were written by King David. And King David was once a shepherd boy, and later he was known as a man after God's own heart. So with unified voice, let's say these words of promise together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that psalm reassuring? We shall not want. Our souls are restored. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, we are comforted. As you spoke these six verses, did the imagery resonate within you? We could meditate on this hope-filled psalm for hours. And to expand it further, all of the psalms are like spiritual journals. These are like letters that were written to a higher power. They were written by a diverse people representing themselves to God. And these people were like peasants and kings and professional musicians and rank amateurs in wildly fluctuating moods, like us. They're relatable. They're personal. Very personal. These were people struggling mightily to align what they believe about God with what they were actually experiencing. And it sounds like something that we go through too, right? Given this struggle, I want you to consider this first part of verse 5 from Psalm 23, which is rather bold. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's not just bold, that's crazy bold. And I'm thinking about this, and as I'm reflecting, I'm going, well, who are my actual enemies? Who are our actual enemies? And, you know, we could name people, but that's not where God was directing me in this. He was saying, think about this a different way. Go in a different direction. God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies known as anxiety, anger, hurt, discouragement, frustration, disappointment. God takes this and these negative enemies that are around us, God lays a feast to care for us and nourish us. Those things that want to do us harm and stand in our way to do what is right and do what is good, that is for us to help others, and it is for God. That's pretty powerful stuff, right? This isn't a passive God. This is an active God. This is like Jesus who cared for the individuals who were broken and hurting. In the gospel stories, we see not a Jesus that's on the sideline. We see a Jesus that comes directly to these people who are hurting with empathy and compassion in the presence of their enemies. Jesus is eager and ready to help, to calm, to heal, to restore. As then is now, God is eager and ready to help, to calm, to heal, to restore. The questions are, will we allow God through our heart doors? Will we then follow our shepherd's lead? Will we allow Christ to guide us one step at a time? Or, and as Jesus taught us, will we focus on the now rather than on the tomorrow? Now, I'm pushing us, because if we open ourselves to God who walks along with us, peace is going to be made and will be made with our anxiety-ridden lives. Light will overcome the darkness. So to do this, whatever stress you're dealing with, be compassionate to yourself rather than being harsh and judgmental, because that's what we do a lot of the times. Give yourself the grace and peace to fail. I know it. This is easier said than done, but keep that compassionate thought for yourself at the forefront. Now, here we go with Harmony Toluca Lake. How are we going to directly address the issue of stress and anxiety that greatly pervades the millennial generation as well as our society as a whole? And so we recognize the need to be present with God. And we need to implement appropriate and healthy spiritual practices in our lives, like the tools of the shepherd. They had the rod and the staff, right? Well, the tools that we need in order to be whom God has called us to be, well, our tools are spiritual practices. And some spiritual practices are familiar, like prayer, reading scripture. And I've already had some people approach me and they say, how do I pray? What's prayer about? Others have come up to me and say, you know, what is the Bible for? I use it as a doorstop, but how is it applicable to my life? And these are questions that we're going to have to answer. And as Katie had talked about with the joy box, whoo, there you go. Now, that's a spiritual practice there because it's talking about being generous, but it also ties into what Jen has been talking about when we're going out and doing outreach, because how do we incorporate generosity, giving in our lives? And what does the extent of giving actually mean? There's other spiritual practices that we actually take for granted. Have you ever thought of a spiritual practice such as resting? It is. Because how many times do we rest? Also, the spiritual practice of living and loving healthier. Now, it's vitally important that we align our mind, body, and spirit to much-needed time for meditation and mindfulness, this present moment living that centers us. Thereby, when we do this, we follow the way taught by the most mindful person ever, Jesus. By refraining from future tripping, and that's when we occupy our time thinking, oh, it's about tomorrow, it's about the future, we focus and pay attention right now, doing one thing at a time. So here's a couple of things that we're going to begin as we layer it out. Beginning in October, it's just a couple of months away, with dates and hours to be determined, a time for meditation and mindfulness will be offered to the community here and at large, which will be led by Timothy Patrick, here with us today. Hello, Timothy. And in fact, Timothy is going to lead us in a centering prayer later in the worship service. I also want to introduce Nancy Atkinson, who is here today. And Nancy is also, I love her so much, great friend as well. And in October, she's going to lead us in Christian yoga. And I'm also in discussion with an individual who will lead us in Tai Chi. These are just now starters, just a few of the ways in which Harmony Toluca Lake will address the issue of stress and anxiety, with more opportunities to come, which I'm going to share in the coming weeks. So before I close this morning's message, here's a question I'd like to discuss, because as you saw, there's a little difference. I didn't do the question earlier today, right? I'm putting it here at the end for you. Because here's the question that I want you to ponder, and I'd love for you to discuss this with each other after worship, but I also would want you to reflect on this during the week. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? And I want to also leave you now with a challenge. Let's make it a habit to be aware of Christ within us and God's presence around us. If we respond to that inner voice and we move in harmony with our Creator and the wishes of our Creator, I promise you, God promises you, life is going to be much more satisfying and worthwhile. And by doing so, we will shed high anxiety and gain something much greater, serenity. Amen. So today, we are doing something a little different. And as Melinda had mentioned earlier today, this is a contemplative, reflective worship service. And while I was thinking of Psalm 23 and the beauty of this psalm, one thing came to me that I wanted to incorporate this, I felt led to do this, is anointing. Because the sheep, the shepherd, would take oil and anoint the sheep to calm them, to help restore them. And so it's a very important moment in our lives. And so Pastor Denise is here. There's Pastor Denise. Come on up, Pastor Denise. And she's going to talk to us about this. Pastor Denise is, she's awesome. And she's over for the whole of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And so she's going to lead this next part. Thank you. Oh, yes.
Hello, everyone. So as Mark has been saying to us, our world is hurting and broken, and there's a great need for healing prayer in our worship services. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, are any among you sick? They should call the elders of the church and have them pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing with oil is not a claim of healing by pastors, nor that God will make everything better, but rather a faithful act as part of Christ's ministry of teaching, praying, and healing. We are all called as disciples of Jesus Christ to pray with and for one another, and the ministry of prayer with touch enacts the grace of God, allowing bridges to be built for those who are alienated, isolated, suffering, or discouraged in spirit. This sacramental act expresses compassion, grace, hope, and a confidence in God, enabling us to bring our insufficiencies before Christ, who understands our need for wholeness. We will now offer a time of anointing and personal prayer. There will be two stations, one each side. And if you would like to take part in this act of anointing, please come forward down the center aisle and return to your seats along the side of the sanctuary. This part of the service will conclude with a centering prayer. So would Reverend Nicole, Steve, and Pastor Mark please come forward?
As you go throughout your week, I invite you to remember that the perfect peace that only God can offer us is often found in the space between our thoughts. Behind all the thoughts, the worry, the anxiousness, and the fear about what may come, about what may be, it does take us from the present. We can just breathe and find what's around us right now. And you can just call upon the Holy Spirit to feel that peace and to calm your mind. And so I leave you with that. In Jesus' name.
Please stand and do this last song with us.
Praise the Lord. When it comes out easy, praise the Lord. On top of the world, praise the Lord.
week. Make sure you pass the peace of Christ on your way out. God bless you.